testimony, praying so God can move. There's times in services that are highly anointed for specific purposes, and we need to be very conscious of those times. I'm glad that we're in a church where we can take that liberty. Praise the Lord. Amen? However, sometimes we have to throw the clock out in order to do that. Praise the Lord. But God, it's worth it all. I want to read Genesis 17. I'm still talking about the power and privilege of having God as a covenant friend, not just a heavenly father, not just as a great savior, but as a covenant friend. And I want to preface this by saying again in review. We're going to read just a little bit in review. But I want to preface this by saying that if you don't understand the covenant language of the New Testament, there's a lot of things Jesus said that we're not going to get the full understanding or appreciation of. There's a lot of things that we have received already through His redemptive love that is in covenant terms. It's on covenant terms. It's covenant language. And as we understand how covenants were cut in ancient times, as they did, we don't know much about that in our Western culture. Some countries are still very strong in covenants. And the strength of a covenant is way different than the strength of a legal contract. We would think initially of a covenant as some kind of legal binding contract. But there's no love in a legal binding contract. How many know if you're signing contracts, you better get it in writing? This is not a love bond and a love commitment. This is just legal stuff. My grandfather used to run a tire shop where they took tires and vulcanized them. I don't know if you remember, that's back way back in the day when you fixed up old tires, put boots in them, recapped them to keep them going. And there was no such thing as credit cards back then. But sometimes people would say, "Can you fix my tire and I'll pay you, you know, Friday when I get my check." Well, my grandfather, he wasn't big on doing that because he got ripped off so many times. Never saw him again. So he had a big sign up that says, "In God we trust, all others cash." I thought that was a pretty neat sign because, you know, you can enter into verbal contracts, legal contracts. Don't even associate any of that. Buying a home, getting a loan, that is not covenant stuff. Covenant stuff is when two people committed themselves to one another because they appreciated, cared for, yes, loved one another enough to make that deep a commitment to one another that they would rather die themselves than break that covenant. In fact, part of the covenant process in ancient times was to kill an animal, separate it in two halves. And right where you separated after cutting it in half, killing it, cut it in half, both parties would come and stand where that blood pool was. And literally they were saying, "So be it unto me. What happened to this animal if I break my covenant with you?" And they would say it to one another. Now here's the strength of this covenant I want you to know, because when God was asked, how do I know you're going to keep this covenant? Suddenly a fire pot came, blazing.
Hallelujah.
Now the man didn't go over and enter into that. God said, if the strength of this covenant is both of us, there's a weak link in it. You, sir, you, ma'am, me, we're the weak link. We can fail. He said to make a covenant strong enough to keep a whole nation, even when they turn away, to make sure when they come back they can have forgiveness and restoration. I can establish my seed like I promised. The strength of this covenant is going to have the weight of it. Is going to have to be on me. Can you say amen? Are you listening? You better be glad it's the weight of it's on God. Because Paul said, if I deny him, if I break my part of the covenant, that doesn't mean there's not repercussions. It doesn't mean you can't walk away and be lost if you never come back. What it does mean is, amen, if we break covenant, God's not going to say, "You broke the covenant. I am not bound to forgive you. I'm not bound to restore you. I'm not bound to show you mercy. I don't owe you anything now. You broke your part." Paul said, if we did, and this is covenantal language. I want you to hear it. It's all throughout the New Testament. But if you don't know the ancient circumstances of cutting a covenant, you will not fully understand or appreciate what the New Testament has to say. Paul knew God has come into a covenant with us. We're in a new covenant, but it's still a covenant. God's a covenant God. He established the lineage that would bring Jesus by covenant. All of the promises are based on a covenant. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, a daughter of Abraham? What's that got to do with getting somebody healed? Because, amen, Abraham had cut a covenant. And it was to the seed after him. And she was part of that seed. And when we come to Christ, the Bible said, they that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. Can you say amen? And that's why there's a blanket statement made. If there is any sick among you, let them call the elders. You have the right to do that. Any time that you have a need in a church house where people understand the covenant. Because this is part of the covenant. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. It's covenant stuff. So Paul said, if I deny him, he cannot. See, the strength of it is, he said, you break it, but I won't. Now, I can't keep it with you unless you come back. But I'll be here if you do come back. Hallelujah. If I deny him, he cannot deny himself, but remaineth faithful. He is holy. In him there is no darkness at all. We got some darkness in our flesh that we have to keep dealing with, but not so with God. In him there is no darkness at all. So every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. He keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? And he doesn't break it. That's why he says to Laodicea, be zealous and repent. Because I can restore you and you can still overcome. I'm telling you, through repentance, people can overcome anything. But you can't do it. If you remove that element of repentance and just make it a faith issue, then we've removed the very mechanism for your faith to truly work and bring blessings into your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, this is covenant stuff. So I'm going to read it for the sake of a tape that may be made. We're going to move quick as I possibly can. We may not finish. It's okay. We got plenty of more services, if the Lord wills. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, Genesis 17, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. As for me, God said, I'm going to be the strength of this. I want you to, you have to enter into it by faith, but I'm the one. As for me, my covenant between me and thee, and I'll multiply thy seed. And listen, as for me, verse 4, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For of a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. That's exactly why David said, is there any of Saul's household still living? They said, yeah, there's a crippled boy. Crippled man, he don't have much, he's handicapped. He said, where does he live? Go get him. So Mephibosheth now, and he's a descendant of Saul who was a sworn enemy of David, but the problem here is, this is Abraham's seed, this is a bloodline running. David said, where is he? Bring him here that I might bless him. God is prompting David, this is a seed thing. Can you say, this was the arch enemy of David, Saul was. But David didn't harbor anything in his heart. And David said, is there any of the family tree of Saul left. They said, yeah, there's a crippled man by the name of Mephibosheth. Amen. He gets Mephibosheth before him and he says, everything's going to change today. Because you, not because of anything in and of yourself, but because, amen, you're the seed of Saul. And you're the seed of Abraham. Everything's going to change today. I'm going to bring servants over there to work your land. You're not going to have to worry about, you know, just trying to get by anymore. And they're going to take care of your house and they're going to harvest everything. Servants are going to take care of that. And by the way, you won't even have to live in that house anymore. There's a chamber right here in the palace set aside for you, Mephibosheth. And not only that, but every time that a meal is served in here that I eat, you are going to pull your chair up to my table and eat with me. That's quite a transition just because you're part of a bloodline. Can you imagine? I mean, he might have thought, you know, my daddy was, Saul was really, 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 really tried to kill David. And now David wants me to come and appear before his throne. I mean, all David had to do is lift his little finger and they'd lob off his head. David didn't want to curse him, hurt him. David wanted him there to bless him. Don't you imagine? And this guy that couldn't do no better, doing the best he could in his condition, amen, every day he pulls his chair up to the king's table. Amen. He is part now, part and parcel of the royal family. It's covenant stuff. And that covenant stuff hasn't stopped. Amen. Because we now are part of the royal family. Before the Gentiles was grafted in, when a healing was asked for, Jesus said it is not meet to take what? Something that belongs to the covenant people. Children's bread. And give it unto dogs. Dogs not meaning demeaning like we in that bad sense of an animal, but everybody without the covenant was considered pagan. And it's not meat. It's not appropriate to take that is exclusively the covenant people's and give it to people outside the covenant. But when she worshipped him, said, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He said, woman, great is thy faith. Go thy way. It's done. Can you say? She came in by faith to that covenant. Here's what I want to bring to you today. We don't ever, once you become a Christian, you never have to ask for the crumbs. Because you are invited from the moment you receive Christ. Because after that, the Gentiles were grafted in. The gospel was to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles were grafted in, the Bible said he's broken down something that separated us from covenant people. Not just Jews, but covenant and non-covenant. He broke down. The cross, the blood, broke down. The middle wall of partition and made us one. See, that's why this covenant blessing flows on down to us who are not Jews according to being literally the DNA of Abraham somehow or the blood itself. But we're part of the bloodline because he broke down the partition and said, now in Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek anymore. You're either covenant or non-covenant. But you're neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, rich nor poor, male nor female. But we are one. When it comes to the covenant, God says you're one in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That partition's down. So now we're not outsiders looking for a crumb. We're part of the royal family coming to the table. Can you say amen? Coming to the table to have what? Everything that's provided through the covenant. It's called children's bread. Children's means it belongs to you. We're not trying to get God to give us something. We're coming to receive that is ours. There's a vast difference. Can you say amen? We're not trying to get God to give us something. We're coming to receive what is ours. I've come into the king's chambers. Can you say amen? And so Jesus would say this covenantal stuff, and if you don't see it as part of the covenant, you won't understand it. I have not called you. I have not called you servants, but I have called you friends. Covenants are established between friends. that are so close there and so trusting of one another that they commit themselves in love to each other. And God said, I am a God of love. What I do to accomplish my will and purpose, to establish this nation, to reach the world, I'm going to do it in the framework of a covenant, a love covenant. That's why Jesus said, when I go to that cross, a new covenant is being established. Amen? He stood at that Last Supper and astounded them when he tore broke the bread. He said, this is my body that is broken for you. And when he picked up the cup and lifted it up and said, this is my blood that is shed for you. And shed for this is the new covenant. I know it says New Testament, but I want you to know Testament is the word covenant. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? That's what it is. It's Old Covenant, Old Testament. My dad made out a last will and testament. The last thing he had to give is gone. But I got his last will and testament. And he said, all of my earthly goods I bestowed on my son. We carried him out on the porch in a basket. It smoked or burned everything. Amen. But you know something? God's still on the... Well, he couldn't have given me much. But you know what he gave me? You know what he gave me? He gave me love. He gave me... He gave me an example of faith. He introduced me to the faith. Oh, friend of mine. He gave me more than some great inheritance of money. He gave me something that led me to eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm very happy with my inheritance today. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, he granted that to me and her mama. I mean, dear Lord in heaven, we don't, rich uncles, where are they? Amen. I got an uncle in, no, I don't have an uncle. Are my uncles all gone? Yeah, yep, they're all gone. All my uncles are gone. Even if they were not gone, I had no rich uncle to lean on. Amen. But I've got a rich father. Yes. Amen. Does that mean your meal barrel's full? Never has been. Does it mean it's blessed? Yes. It's always been blessed. How many have not starved to death yet? Let me see your hand. You haven't starved yet. Hallelujah. Yeah, me too, brother. Amen. I kind of suck it in for Sunday at the house. I just let it all, you know, just. My dad, I was out there building a fence for the dogs to be separated yesterday, you know, for a while after the rain let up. And I was out there, and I don't know, my hair was, you know, I just felt grungy. I was sweaty and I had dirt all over me and trying to get through concrete to get old muddy stuff to come out with a post hole digger and to do this, and not concrete, but you know, anyway, just a long story. But my dad saw me this morning. He said, boy, you sure do look different. I said, well, thank you, sir. I feel different today. Amen. That's why you ought to love on your wife. She sees you at your worst, still loves you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so good. I remember the Shrek movie. He rolled over. Amen. They're getting up in the morning. Amen. Shrek 3. And she says, she went like that and said, morning breath. And he says, yes. Isn't it wonderful? That's love. Can you say amen? That's love. God is so good. Hallelujah. Listen, this is a covenant thing. When Jehoshaphat prayed for God's help when three allied armies are coming against it, he said, Lord, you gave us this land. You blessed us through Abraham, thy friend forever. Wow. He's claiming covenant. Can you say, man? He's clearly, distinctly claiming a covenant. We go back to something you did between you and Abraham, and we're the seed. When it looked like an enemy's going to take our inheritance from us. Lord, we're in covenant. You're a covenant God. We claim the covenant. We don't know what to do. We have no might or strength to go up against this great army. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. But he had already mentioned covenant stuff. Can you say amen? Spirit of God came on a prophet in the audience, jumped up and said, thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle. Remember the singers went out before them? Thou shalt not have to use one military strategy to win this thing. You've claimed a covenant, and I keep my covenant to 1,000 generations. Amen. Listen to me. You claimed a covenant. Thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle. So don't see how many men you can put on the battlefield. Amen. Thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle. For the battle is not yours anymore. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. When you fight the good fight of faith, you claim the covenant. Hallelujah. No more crumbs. No more begging crumbs. But recognizing we're part of the royal family. Jesus said, I have not called you servants only. I have called you friends. Can you say amen? And friend is a covenant term. It's in covenantal language. Now here's the exchanges that happen in the ancient covenants. I'm going to begin reading from, have we got about 10, 15 more minutes to spend on this? 1 Samuel 18, 3 and 4 says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, his bow, and this word girdle is not what the ladies wear. This is his belt that all that hinged on. Robe is a garment worn over a tunic by men of rank. It's the garment of the priest. There was an exchange of garments here. By doing so, Jonathan was saying, I'm reviewing in effect to David, I'm giving you my life, all that I am, and all that I have. You want to hear that same call for that kind of covenant commitment out of the New Testament? Romans 12, verse 1, 2, 3. Listen to it. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that all that you are, all that you have. Listen, here it comes. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. How many knows what's inside your body? I don't mean your liver and all that. You know, I'm talking about how many know spiritually what your body contains, spirit and soul. When you present your body, you can't do it without your spirit and soul. If God yanks your spirit and soul out of your body, you can't present your body anywhere. Can you say amen? He's talking about the whole of you. Present your body, a living sacrifice. Amen? Holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship, and be no more conformed to this world. You make a covenant commitment. All that I am and all that I have, it's yours, Lord. That's covenant stuff. Amen. It's full surrender. Everybody say full surrender. Full surrender. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jonathan was the crown prince, the son of King Saul, destined for the throne. From birth, he'd been trained, schooled and groomed for kingship. He had everything to live for, possessions beyond our imagination, prestige, and a future to be envied. However, he was ready and willing to give it all away if necessary to seal a covenant with his friend, David. This is exactly what Jesus has done for us who believe. In order to save us, he stripped himself of all of his royal robes. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation and took on himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in as fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus set aside his royal garments. In fact, he gave us his robe of righteousness. For our robe stained by sin. He wore our robe to the cross. We're going to wear his robe. Amen. To the marriage supper. Can you say amen? It is the wedding garment. Is the robe of righteousness. It's not something you weave with your good works. Because they're not good enough. At their best. It's something God grants through his grace. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I know a lot of people trying to weave themselves a worthy wedding garment. honey, let me give you a little ancient history here. Amen. And I'm not talking about back when I was a young man. I'm talking about way beyond that. Listen to this. Ancient history. In those days, to make sure that everybody was dressed appropriate so nobody brought any kind of shame or disrespect to one of those real big weddings, the host of the wedding that was putting it all together sent the wedding garments. They didn't expect you to go rent a tux. They sent you the tux. Can you say, man, they footed the bill. They sent you the garment, because if somebody invited to the wedding couldn't afford a tux, then they'd have to wear their civvies to the wedding. And they would look out of place with all these people in these tuxedos. Amen? So in that ancient time, to make sure everyone was dressed evenly, appropriately, they sent the wedding garments out to men and women. And when you got it, you put it on. How dare you? It's been provided for you. How dare you show up at the wedding without a wedding garment? You don't weave that yourself with your good works throughout your whole life. This is something granted to you. And if someone comes without it, see, there's no excuse when it's been given to you. God knows your exact size. He knows how to have it tailored to fit you perfectly. Amen. By the way, black is slimming. Stand up, would you please? Look how slim she looked in black this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. That woman know what to wear. Hallelujah. Alice, we love you. We love you in any color you wear. You look good in any color. Don't let me throw you today. But black is slimming, isn't it? Isn't it? You see men in black tuxedos, they all look kind of like penguins. They all look the same. Can you say amen? They all look alike. Big ones, little ones in between. They all kind of take on the same look in tuxedos. We hold it in. You ever wear a sash and cummerbunds and walking like this? That's why they pass out. They're so stiff in that tuxedo, not used to wearing a tie, you know, and they're walking like this. I've had best men just fall out. I mean, just they'd be standing there for 1 minute and plop, the next minute they're on the floor. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost neither. They just, you stand like that. You know, you can lock your legs like that, the way they stand, and that big old artery that runs up that leg now is under duress, and the brain is not getting enough blood. And a guy, big old guy, you know, look like he could bench press a Buick. He's standing, you know what I mean? He's big old macho man standing there. But he's under stress because he ain't used to being no tuxedo. Amen. And he's standing there and got this little funny tie on, this little corsage, and all them people looking at him. He walking around, the back of his legs are rigid. He's rigid like that. All the blood is now starting to narrow to his brain. He's standing there 1 minute, next minute, that big old guy laying on the floor. We have to get him up, try to get him revived, finish the wedding. Can you say amen? A wedding garment is something that is sent by the host. So showing up at a wedding without the garment means you're so disrespectful to the host that provided. See, the host that provided this is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He took our sin to the cross. He gave us a wedding garment. So when we come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be welcomed through the gate of that city to that great table that is set for us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm not going to wear my righteousness, the good deeds that I've done, and wove myself a pretty good looking suit. I'm going to wear His own robe. Can you say amen? You know what I've got on today? I've got on His robe. Not my robe of righteousness, His righteousness. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. It's not good enough at its best, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. To keep your heart from condemnation, what do we have? A breastplate of righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Someone said the outside is positional righteousness, protecting you from the devil's condemnation of the heart. The inside is practical, personal righteousness, protecting your heart from letting evil come within. Can you say amen? We need them both to have on a true breastplate. Amen. He left the indescribable. But let me read this. Bible scholars call this the exchange life, rightfully so. Let me read from there's just so much to review. I mean, the review is so good. I hate to get beyond the review because I'm just getting excited over the reviewing. Can you say, we're almost done preaching, just getting ready to go on. But it's hard to go on without going back to where we started. to take it up as if we just did it, because there were interruptions and in between. But this is exciting, because what we discover as we go on is that so many things Jesus said and did in the New Testament can only be fully understood if you understand the ancient covenants. If you don't understand that, you'll think you understand. When he uses the word friend, he's not just using the word friend like Brother Taylor and this guy's pal. I don't think they've cut a cow in half and stood in the blood yet. He didn't ask you to do that yet, did he? Oh, okay, not yet. All right. It may be coming. Amen. He'll do it if you buy the cow, okay? And he can wear some other shoes. He's not going to wear his good shoe. Amen? No, y'all are friends. But when Jesus used the word friend, and when they used the word Abraham, the friend of God forever, it's because they came into a covenant relationship. It's covenant love. It's a friendship that has brought them to a place of mutual commitment that is stronger than any legal contract or anything else, because they have pledged their hearts and lives to one another. Amen. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd because he's willing to lay down. He says, you got to go through me to hurt them. The hireling, he has no covenant. There's no covenant commitment. Someone just hired to watch the sheep, there's no covenant. So when the wolf comes and he's threatened, he'll let the wolf have the sheep and run. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He commits totally. He said he lays down his life for the sheep. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a good and gracious God that we serve today. Amen. He left the indescribable beauty of glory to give us his robe of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness. He covered me with the robe of righteousness. Everybody say, that's the wedding garment. Isn't it good that he sent us a wedding garment? Yeah. So when we approach the gates of that city, invited to that great banquet table, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we consummate our love for one another. Hallelujah. That when we walk through, there won't be any sense that I won't be accepted. I may not make it. There's somehow that I won't be perfect enough. No, because what we're wearing is his robe. His robe. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why the devil can't pick that apart, Sister Bennett. Because what he's trying to pick apart is God's righteousness. Before the Gentiles were grafted in, there's in the Old Testament, might be Isaiah 54, I'm not sure about that, but there's an old, before the Gentiles were grafted in, I'm going to look at this. If I don't find it, it wasn't for me to read it. But if I do find it, it was. Because I'm not good at finding things. The Holy Spirit has to really help me. Oh, yeah, it is Isaiah 54. I found it. Must be God. I'm going to close with this scripture. Aren't y'all glad I found it? I could have looked for another hour here waiting on an unction. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is the call up in my reference Bible, maybe up at the top of yours. This is the call of the Gentiles. This is when we, who have no covenant, are called into that covenant. This is prophetic of the Gentiles being grafted in. The Bible said, you being a wild olive branch. Everybody say, a wild olive branch. Have been grafted into the true vine. And now, what happens when you... I'm not real good at horticulture, agriculture. I took agriculture to get out of taking something more demanding in school. It was an elective. I'd rather be out pruning trees than in there pushing a pencil. Because some teachers... He's a math teacher. Be kind to him. He works with teenagers. He needs grace. I'd need grace not to throttle one. But anyway, he needs grace just to endure. No, I love teenagers too. Amen. If we could just bury them when they're 13, dig them up when they're 25, they would be just perfect children. Anyway, God is good. You being a wild olive branch, you've been grafted into the true vine. They cut the vine that they're going to graft into. Jesus' body was rent on that cross. Amen? So both Jew and Gentile can be made one. We were the wild olive branch, but that cut allowed that branch that wasn't part of that formerly. And you know what? See, covenants are binding. And what do? You have to open that, make a slit, take that cutting, and put it in that slit, in the side of that, close it up, and bind it up. It's grafted now in. And it knits to that. And everything that comes up from the roots that goes out to the branches of the true now is flowing out to that's been grafted in. Paul said, all you Gentiles are non-covenant people. Everybody say non-covenant. Not meet to take the children's bread. But when a child comes, it's Abraham's seed. It's different. It's children's bread. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, not just any woman, but a daughter. I don't mean a direct daughter. Abraham was from way, way back. But that blessing is on the seed that keeps on generation to generation. He said, this is a daughter of Abraham. She has a right to claim covenant blessings. This is the New Testament, folks. This is the basis by which Jesus healed her. And the basis by which Jesus healed the lady that was out of the covenant was that she, in a sense, in her humility and faith before the Lord, said, I know the covenant is with you and with the Jewish people, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. And she's claiming a covenant. And he said, if I see faith like that, humility like that, I'm not going to deny her, amen, a blessing today. The thing I want to drive home to you is we are not those outsiders, amen. We are now part of the insiders. We're part of the royal family. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We don't come begging. We come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain what He has provided, grace and mercy to help us in the time of any need. He says it don't matter what it is. You have grace and mercy because of the covenant that you're under. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm faithful. I'm faithful. Wow. I love the covenant stuff. Because it builds my faith in Him. So the Gentiles are outside the covenant, and this is the call of the Gentiles. This is a prophetic future thing. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. That means there's going to be more of Abraham's seed through the grafting in of the wild olive branch than there was through the seed itself. Did you know there's more because when we come to Christ, we become Abraham's seed, there's more of us than there is over there in the little nation of Israel and around the world. There's more Gentiles in this thing now. Isn't that what it's saying right here? He said, you know, you didn't even have to do this. You've been grafted in. You got all of this without the travail. Can you say amen? Amen. More of the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. What was Israel called? Constantly when they were in right relationship with Him, He used covenant terms. Marriage was a sacred covenant. It still is supposed to be. Can you say amen? Not just a contract that is easily broken. It was a sacred covenant, and it still is. It's all in covenantal language. And what did He call Israel? Anybody ever heard the song? Beulah land, I'm longing for you. The term is used in Scripture, Beulah land, for Israel, when she's right with God. There was another term when she wasn't right with God, and it was the word for abandon. Desolate. Abandoned. You know what Beulah means? Married. Everybody say covenant. Beulah land means God is in covenant with us. And in that spiritual sense of the covenant, He is our husband. The nation of Israel has become the wife. And what happens to a husband and wife? The two become one. Because it's covenant stuff. And that's why God stood up and said, you ain't going to have to fight. You've claimed the covenant. The battle is no longer yours, it's mine. I'm the husband. I defend the wife. Amen? Of course, I've seen some wives that I think could take pretty good care of themselves. But in this sense, I'm not looking at you, darling. Make one. All right. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to God, we're the weak part of this. He is the strength of it. Amen. Be strong how? Always to deferring to Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Can you say amen? Everybody say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Praise God. That's why He defended Israel. He said, when you're in covenant, amen, it's like I'm your husband, you're my wife. This is covenant stuff. Can you say amen? When someone comes against you, God rises up to protect you. Amen. So, He says, when this starts happening to you, you are the barren one, but you've been brought into the married one. Praise God. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. Preach the gospel. Amen. That we can be grafted into the true vine. That we can find salvation through Jesus. That we can actually become Abraham's seed by faith. Have His blessings on our life. Amen. You're going to need a lot of room when you start telling this story. A lot of people want to get in on this blessing. So when you pull those tents further out, you make them bigger. You better strengthen the stakes to hold the strain. Somebody give God praise. We're going to see people come into the kingdom of God because it's worth it all to have His blessing on your life. To have salvation. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed, you Gentiles, thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is His name. The Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall He be called. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, and the wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith God. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. Now see, we're back to the Jewish people. Can you say amen? Is He gathering them back? He said, I will say to the north, give up! And you know what made Russia start giving up Russian Jews to go back if they wanted to? Amen. They got an economic hit that put them to their knees. They didn't want diplomacy. They didn't want the Cold War to end. Amen. You know what brought them? They had to join the global community or starve. They were standing in line to get a loaf of bread in Soviet Russia. Amen. They had a great military, but their economic system was crushed. They had to join the global community. That old Berlin Wall had to come down. Those people that wanted to migrate back to Israel, amen, they got on that plane. Can you say amen? Because God said to the north, He said, for a moment, it looked like I turned my back. Do you remember what happened under Nazi Germany? For a moment, it looked like they were forsaken of God. Just for a moment in the grand scheme of things, in the eternal time scheme. Amen. But He said, I'm going to gather thee. Ezekiel said, not only is He going to gather them, when He gets them back, they're never going to be plucked up no more. Can you say, man? Just watch what's going on. Watch what's going on. Listen to this. I don't always agree with the politics of Israel. Hey, I don't even agree with the politics of America sometimes. But I'll tell you what I do agree with, that there's a covenant people and God is faithful to 1,000 generations. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And we're part of that people. In 8 says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. In other words, you return to me, I gather you back. I'm not bringing you back to condemn you, but I'm bringing you like Mephibosheth to bless you. Can you say amen? Halaba. And he said, this is like the waters of Noah. After those waters receded, I swore I will never send judgment that way again upon you. This is covenant. This is God saying, you denied me, but I have not denied you. Can you say amen? You come back to me, I'm going to restore you. Can you say amen? Because I keep my covenant. And you're breaking it won't make me break mine. That doesn't mean there's not consequences. There was consequences. Look at history. 3 million. They said, we will not have this man rule over us. 3 million men, women, and children. There's 6 million during the Holocaust alone, not only the other persecutions of Israel. 70 years after Jesus stood and said, this temple is going to be torn down, speaking of his body. After that, they came in, they tore the temple down, they threw hogs on the altar, they crucified 1 million Jews. There's consequences. But here's the good news. When people return to God, he keeps his covenant with them. He's faithful. Can you say amen? Oh, it gets better as we go on. We're almost done. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on thee. Now here we are. We're back to the Gentiles now. Here's that call of the Gentiles. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I'll lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphire. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and thy borders of pleasant stones. And thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. We need to claim this thing right here. Let's claim our kids. Come on, this is the seed of the righteous. We got a right to intercede. We got a right to claim our kids for God. I claim my children that don't know him for him. Right now in the name of Jesus. They don't have peace. They're tossed with tempest. The storm keeps tossing them, threatening to destroy them. But I claim them. Hallelujah. Here's that wedding garment stuff, covenant stuff. Verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. See, the covenant, the husband's going to protect the wife. Say it with me. The husband is going to protect the wife. Woo! Hallelujah. They're going to come against you. You're going to be tested, tried. The enemy's going to come against you, but they're going to fall for your sake. Why? Because you're not going to be afraid. You're going to trust in me when they come. Can you say, man, terror isn't going to grip your heart. You're going to be concerned enough to call on me and claim the covenant, but you're not going to be stymied by fear when it happens. You're going to understand it's not me causing your trouble. It's your enemies. Can you say, man? He said, they're going to come, but not by me. Amen. They're going to come because you have an enemy down here. Can you say, man, but they're going to fall. Can you say, but they're going to fall for your sake. But they're going to fall for your sake. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. We're almost done. Yes, hallelujah. Verse 16 says, behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals. And the fire that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I've created the waster to destroy. He's saying the devil is a fallen angel that I created. He's not equal with me. I have absolute, he's a created being and I created him. He's a waster, but he is not a God. He can't create anything. The only thing he can create is fear in you if you let him. He's under my righteous control, and he's under your feet. Woo! There's no entity out there from the netherworld that can supersede God. No! This is shouting ground now. No weapon. No weapon. Say it with me. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Didn't tell you it. Your enemies ain't going to come. It said it won't have its desired result. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This, here's the covenant stuff. This is just what belongs to you. This is your legacy. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And here's something the devil wants to pick apart, dismantle, but he can't because it's God's righteousness granted, not ours presented to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And their righteousness, their right to have me stand up for them, it's of me. I granted it. I gave it. Saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I stand in my righteousness, the devil can find something to disqualify me from victory over. Amen. If I stand in my own righteousness, he'll find something. I cannot present myself sinlessly perfect, but I can present myself perfectly committed to Jesus and his lordship. And when I fall down, I'm going to rise back up and claim my covenant. Glory! God is here. Brother, would you find it for me? God is here. God is here. God is here. Woo! God is here. Eloi, Eloi. Hallelujah. 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 For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. We have a better covenant established on even better promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is here. His wonders to perform. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing, you that were barren. Yolabakosandada, you that were desolate. It's going to change just like it did for Mephibosheth. Hallelujah. What a day. What a day. Back in my day, I used to watch black and white TV with my great-grandmother. We all loved the same program. Queen for a Day. Did you ever see that, sis? Queen for a Day. They'd find the poorest of the poor. I just knew they was going to come to my house sooner or later. And everybody would show them what their desperate need was, and they picked the person with the most desperate of the desperate. It made me feel bad because there's nothing for anybody else, and everybody was in desperate need. And they'd bring this lady up that didn't have, you know, the wind in the house or the... Anyway, you know, she just didn't have anything. No washer, no dryer, no scrub board and tub. And she's used that. Anybody used a scrub board, boy, washers and dryers are nice. Whew. Man. Right. I use a scrub board and I got the hands to prove it. Can you say amen? Bruised knuckle. So they bring this lady up. There's three of them. They narrow them down to three and they pick one. That person goes and sits down on this kind of makeshift throne, and they give her a little crown, and she's queen for the day. And she's weeping, weeping, because she's got something granted to her. She didn't earn. She didn't have the money to buy. There's nothing. She's seated on that, and it's kind of embarrassing. But if you're hungry, you can get over. You can swallow your pride in order to swallow some gravy and biscuits. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Oh, come on, you can do that. We can all do that. Amen. And so they start bringing out this stuff. You got 6 months' groceries from Kroger delivered to your house. You don't have to worry about where the next meal are your children. You see that? That's a brand new Maytag washer and dryer. And there's a Frigidaire refrigerator. You don't have to chip the ice off of it every, you know, and you may have electric to help you on the electric. Anyway, she's queen for that day. But after that 6 months is over, then whatever her condition is, if something doesn't change, it reverts back. When the washer goes on the fritz, finally, from all that washing for those kids, it's done. You get the washboard back out unless your circumstance has changed. That's why when David brought Mephibosheth in, he didn't just say, I'm going to bless you for a little while. I'm going to give you a little bit to help your farm along here. No, he said, you're coming into the palace. You're sitting with the... Every time I have a meal, Mephibosheth, you will be at my table. Is there any of the seed of Saul left? No matter how distant the relative, what the circumstance, is there anybody that's in that bloodline? If there is, bring them to me that I may bless them. Can you say, man, that is an Old Testament, beautiful Old Testament expression and portrait of New Covenant grace. Mephibosheth had nothing to warrant that blessing except he was the seed. Is there any of the seed? We are the seed of Abraham. Because we've come to know Jesus Christ. And we've been knit by covenant. That's what wrapped us up, knit us to the true vine. And everything that comes up from the promises to those people, they can't get into those branches without flowing out into us. That's why there's neither Jew nor Greek. The middle wall, the partition is down. The covenant is now all encompassing. He said, you're going to need to make room for more than just what Abraham's own personal seed could produce, because now it's going to be multiplied, amen, to all the Gentile nations that believe on Christ. You're going to need a bigger tent, stronger stakes. Make it, stretch it out as far as you can, because you're not the barren woman anymore. Amen. 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 You're a childbearing woman. The church. Oh, don't get me started again. We've got to quit. The church is supposed to be a fertile childbearing woman. Can you say amen? Bringing many souls into the kingdom of God. All right, God is here. Let's give him praise for just about 2 minutes. God is here. How many believe he's here? How many need help?